Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Zechariah, John's father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This Christmas we're about to celebrate is different from every other Christmas ever celebrated in the history of the Church, because it is occurring within this extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy. And it's key for us if we're going to open ourselves up to all that God wants to give us this Christmas, to look at this great mystery through the prism of the Lord's own mercy. We see that mercy on full display in today's readings. In our first reading from the second book of Samuel, we see what the Lord showed and promised David, the one to whom he had already given so much mercy after David's terrible, atrocious, triple sin of the lust, of the adultery, and of the murder of Uriah. David, at the very end of his life, after thorough repentance, wanted to build a fitting temple for the Lord. He just didn't think it was right that he was living well, whereas the Lord was still the Ark of the Covenant and all the other signs of God's presence in a tent. So he asked Nathan for the permission of God to build a temple fitting to him. And Nathan, without consulting the Lord, some of the times we just presume that the Lord's ways are our ways rather than try to conform our ways to his. Nathan just told David, go for it. What a good plan. Why wouldn't God want it? Not that God didn't want it. God did. But he wanted to show his mercy far more than receive David's love and thanksgiving. So he sent Nathan back. Go tell my servant, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? And then he says, no, you won't. I will build and establish a house for you. I will raise up your heir after you, and I will make his kingdom firm. Be a father to him, he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me, and your throne shall stand firm forever. It wasn't what David was going to do for the Lord, but what the Lord wanted to do out of merciful love for David. And that prophecy was fulfilled a millennium later, when the Archangel Gabriel came to Mary and said that the power of the Most High would overshadow her. Therefore, the child to be born of her would be called Holy, the Son of God. That he would establish his kingdom. He would be a king whose reign would never end. And he would be set up on the throne of David, his father. This is the dawn of the mercy of the Lord in the flesh. And God had prepared for it for 1,000 years. But as awesome as that is, God has something even greater in mind for us. He was going to establish an eternal kingdom according to the flesh from David's descendant. But as we've heard throughout Advent, John the Baptist was greater than David. No man born of woman was greater than he, Jesus said. But the least in the kingdom of heaven would be greater than John. The least born anew by water and the Holy Spirit, to which John's baptism would point but not be able to effectuate, would be greater even than a descendant of David according to the flesh. Even Mary, who was praised by that anonymous woman for her immaculate womb and for her blessed breasts, which bore and nourished the eternal Son of God. Jesus wanted to say that there was an even greater benediction. She was the one who heard and put into practice the Lord's word. That's what the Lord has in mind for us, is we want to do something at minimum, say thank you, to sing of the Lord's praise forever. The Lord wants to do something even greater for us. He wants to build us a house. What is that house? It's a spiritual house in which we're mystically incorporated into that throne, into that line, into that kingdom of the King of Kings who has come. That's what this Christmas mystery is about, as we'll hear tomorrow morning at the Mass during the day. The prayer that the priest says every Mass when he puts a little drop of water into a chalice full of wine. Deus qui humani substantiae mirabiliter condidisti. God, who has miraculously formed man, et mirabilius reformasti, and even more wondrously remade him. Da per huius aquae et vini mysterium, eis ficiamur divinitatis consortem. Grant that through this mystery of this water and wine, we may come to share in the divinity of him who humbled himself to share our humanity. That this is that great miraculous exchange in which we, in a sense, give Jesus Christ our humanity and he gives us back his divinity. That's the manifestation of God's mercy. That's why forever we shall try to sing the goodness of the Lord. But the Lord will sing a tune far greater. Zechariah was singing this tune in the gospel today. It's very significant that the last word the church hears in Advent is this word of Zechariah, proclaimed during that first Advent. We remember a few days ago the medicinal penance given to Zechariah after he had doubted that the Lord would have heard his prayer. He was struck mute. Why? So that he could learn to ponder rather than waste the graces of the Lord. He was of the priestly tribe of Abijah. There were 24 divisions of the priests. They would each go up for 2 8-day cycles a year to the temple. And then every day, 4 names would be drawn out of the 800 priests in that division to offer the 4 different types of service. The morning, unblemished 1-year-old male lamb in the evening, as well as the incense in the morning and the incense in the evening. 4 each day, 32 in a cycle, 64 in a year, 800 of them all together. You could well go beyond a decade before your name would ever be chosen. If you didn't have a heck of a lot of luck, you could go 20 or 30 years. It was an incredible privilege, a real blessing to have been chosen. And no question, whenever Zechariah would go up the mountain from Ein Garim up to Jerusalem for his service, Elizabeth, like a good Jewish woman, would say to him, if your name is chosen, make sure the Lord gets an earful when you go on in to remove my sterility. And Zechariah committed himself to do so over and over again. Finally, his name was chosen. And there, when he was offering the incense, the evening sacrifice, God heard his prayer. the angel appeared to him, sad that that petition had been heard, and that his wife, even though she'd be old in years, would conceive a son. And rather than just say thank you, he couldn't believe the blessing he had gotten. And we can be in similar circumstances. No matter how often we ask for something, when God finally responds, we feel so unworthy. We can't believe that it's true. So he doubts. How can this be? I'm too old and my wife is too old. How can this be? But God always punishes us medicinally. And the medicinal penance of Zechariah was to be struck mute for 9 months because he was constantly trying to exteriorize it and talk himself out of it. So he was going to need to develop that capacity to regurgitate it, literally to meditate on it, to ruminate it inside. And God had had a plan the entire time. Zechariah was a righteous man. He's a very bright man. And he had to go home and just be quiet, notice and ponder without feeling a sense that he needed to explain it to anybody else for a while. 6 months, he basically pondered what was going on in his wife's womb. And then